every cold.
That was Joan Weaver with her 1940s classic Golden Earrings, which, you know, it's a cover. She didn't, you know, I didn't find this from 1940. Just in case you were wondering, you're like, did Turtle go back in time? No. I just found this and I thought that it was cool. That's off her upcoming album, Interstellar Songbook 2. For more information, you can always log on to joanweavermusic.com. Welcome into the playlist. Big shoe for you. What do we have? You say we have a band from Rockville, Maryland. Yes, from Rockville. We're speaking with Colin. He is in the band Dirty Jacks. Very excited for you to listen to their music. But before we do that, we are going to hear a song called You Got It All by the band That Noise. For more information, log on to thatnoisemusic.com.
You got it.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Colin with the Dirty Jacks. We're going to be talking with Turtle today, but before we get to that, we're going to hear our new single off our EP, Kill the Lights.
Please don't stop the sound. I have yet to found a perfect day. Space-time seems to melt. Hands down by your belt. I need to play.
Playlist. You just heard the song Kill the Lights. And with me is Colin from the Dirty Jacks, which you can find at thedirtyjacks.com. What is up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Going great. Liked your stuff. And what I found ironic is this true? You guys are from Rockville, Maryland?
Yes. Yes, so, yeah, we're from Rockville, Maryland.
So being a rock star, it's just ingrained in you then, right?
You got it, man. It's in our blood. We didn't really plan on that, but it worked out pretty well. So we're pretty excited about it.
What were you guys planning on? Like, did this band just happen by accident, or were you guys all studying to be, like, dentists or something?
Well, we all had different ideas of what life was going to entail. We all came from different walks of life. Our bass player, Bobby, and I went to high school together, and we knew each other through friends, and he was a couple years older than I was. I knew he played bass. I got along with a couple other friends, played guitar and drums. One thing led to another. We had a jam session. We put the last piece together, which was Bobby at the time. And after that, we stuck with the name. We kept making music. A couple months later, lineup change. We decided to add one final piece to the puzzle, and that was keys and a new drummer, Eric and Ian. And the Dirty Jacks became Billy, Bobby, Colin, Eric, and Ian. And that was it.
When that happened, and you pretty much cemented the lineup, did you guys throw a party? Did you guys, like, light fireworks, or did you guys all get drunk, or what?
The latter. We decided that was the best way to christen the idea of the band. We decided that this is a pretty cool idea. We kind of all finally looked at each other and kind of nodded our heads and said, this is a good idea. I think this could work. And we never looked back. It was a pretty cool moment to have everybody agree on something like that. And that was maybe probably the only time we've all agreed on something.
Now are you just like, what did we get ourselves into, you know?
Exactly. We really didn't know. Well, a couple of us have been in bands before. I've personally never been in a band before. I've done theater, and I've done a sang and things like that, and chorus and choirs and high schools and things like that. And I love being up on stage. And I guess that's where the guys got the idea for me to sing was, because I never intended to be the lead singer. I was a pretty crappy guitar player. I thought I'd maybe back up somebody. And they said, no, you go ahead and sing. So I kind of went with it, you know, go with the flow. Why try to swim upstream when you could just coast along with these guys who are great musicians? And it still seems to be working out pretty well.
And the best part about being a singer and not playing in any instrument is that you don't have to load anything, you know?
Oh my goodness, you have no idea how good it is.
I have a
pretty serious responsibility for our tour van that we have. That's my baby. That's my responsibility. So I'm the one who usually drives everybody home at the end of the night. But these guys carry in thousands of dollars worth of equipment, drive 100 miles to play a show, get paid $50 to play a show, and then make no money and come home.
Right. Man. but it's worth it, right, for you, do you think? Or
absolutely. We play for 5 people. We play for 1,000 people. And we've done both. So we're pretty excited to be able to play and share and travel and experience different musical genres, and we kind of were able to meld between different ideas and different sounds, and people can't really quite pinpoint exactly what we sound like, so that's kind of a benefit, but
I always say that's really good, because when you're being compared to other bands, that, you know, that's nice, but you always want to be compared to you. You know, it's just like what Conan O'Brien once said. He said that he doesn't want to be compared to Johnny Carson or anybody else. He just wants to be him. And I think that's the biggest challenge that bands face, is that they want to be or have their own identity, but yet sometimes they get lost in the comparisons.
Absolutely. I mean, we still are trying to find our identity. You know, we have an idea and a framework, but you know, our sound is absolutely there. The sound is there. But we still are, you know, we're learning a lot about what it's like to be in a band and what it's like to be in relationships and what it's like to do this on the business end. We can write music till the cows come home, but the business aspect is something different that we're all becoming aware of now, and learning what it's like to really do this full time, and travel and expenses and taxes. And, you know, we're really keeping an eye on all these different assets of life as well as having the most fun that a person could get paid to do.
Speaking of relationships, the song that we just heard, Kill the Lights, that song has been described as a song about teenage angst and a roller coaster of emotions when finding love. But I also think that, you know, really translates as well to being a band. You know, you guys are obviously in love with each other, not in the sense of like you guys are dating each other, but in the sense of you guys are still filling each other's personalities out and actually finding out exactly who each of you are. Are you finding that process fun or do you find it a little frustrating because it's not as easy?
Initially, one of the hardest things in the world, I'd say, is trying to get five guys in the same spot with the same idea and, you know, structure something, build something. It's never easy to do that, and it's frustrating and it's pressure and it's exhausting. But there, you know, that sentence, with pressure comes diamonds, you know, sticks with me a lot. We push and push and push and push and push up ourselves as hard as we can, and then something great comes out of it. And that 3 minutes of a song, 4 minutes of a song on stage, we get to play a new song for somebody, is the most euphoric, you know, thing you could think of. And it's worth the time, it's worth the sweat, it's worth the tears, it's worth everything.
Yeah, you guys have a lot of sayings. I was going through your guys' Twitter and Facebook, which, by the way, if you log on to the band's website, thedirtyjacks.com, there you'll find the links to their Facebook, their Twitter, and their YouTube, etc., etc., etc. And I saw this quote, and I thought it was really cool, which was, don't put people on pedestals. If you treat them like a celebrity, they're probably going to treat you like a fan. And I thought that was really cool. Where did you hear that from?
Well, we honestly don't know exactly who we heard it from. We were all sitting around one day thinking about, you know, what it would be like if this thing, in terms of the band, were to make it big and we were to basically become everything we've always wanted to become, what would we turn into? Would we turn into, you know, greedy pigs? Would we turn into, you know, really giving, loving, over-the-top, Bono-esque people? Or would, you know, would we find this great happy medium where we could actually live our lives, enjoy the things that we want to enjoy outside of music? And I think that can be a parallel for a lot of people's lives in terms of their jobs, in terms of what they like to do as a passion. And the best thing about the music industry for us so far is that, you know, we haven't had a problem confusing our passion with a job. In this realm, it's both. And a lot of people can get those two things mixed up. And I think a lot of people in the media, a lot of famous celebrities and quote-unquote celebrities, you know, people who don't really have any talent in reality TV and things like that, that comes across to me as someone who is one of those extremes. You know, you can be super greedy and self-loathing and self-aware of how pretty you are, but then you can also be the opposite and not give anything back and not try anything and never be the greatest you could be. So we really try to strive to be that middle ground.
At the same time, the idea of success is, you know, a lot of people think that the idea of success is playing, you know, stadiums and, you know, being on, you know, newspapers and magazines and stuff like that. But there's another form of success, you know, that I talk to a lot of bands, and there are a lot of bands out there that people don't know about that are making an honest living. It's not like $100,000 paycheck, you know, that they're getting, but they're actually making some decent money just playing music. Has that idea crossed your mind, you know, as you guys, because it's funny, when you guys talk about your dreams and hopes as a band, I envision you guys all in a circle, you know, sitting or lying down on grass, looking up at clouds, you know, and then just talking.
Almost exactly, Charlie. You got it, man. We strive, again, to really ground ourselves as best we can. We try to keep a grassroots campaign in terms of connecting with our fans. We try as hard as we can to respond to every Twitter, every Facebook, every comment, every like. We try to keep everybody as close to us as possible because they're the reason why we would be famous in the first place. You know, we have a goal of being able to do music, to play music, to live music comfortably. Our goal doesn't seem to be to be millionaires. That doesn't appeal to us as much as I want to quit my job and do this. I want to stop, you know, getting a paycheck from this company, and I want to get my paychecks from the Dirty Jacks. I want to live my life in the fullest and do the one thing that I truly, truly love doing. And if I get paid for it, that's awesome.
Your fans are coming out in droves. Not only that, they're really supporting you. I saw that one of your fans, Jay Lynn, got a tattoo with your logo. Tell me about that. How did you feel?
Oh, I feel honored. I feel surprised. I feel great. I mean, that's we've never asked for that. We've never said somebody should go out and do this. But it was an honor. It was really exciting, and it was funny, and it was cute, and it was charming, and it was all these weird little emotions that we kind of all kind of got at the same time. And this is actually, to be honest with you, the second Dirty Jacks tattoo.
Whoa, who was the first?
A friend of ours named Cassandra Swami, and she's another friend of ours from back home in Maryland. And she did it without really telling anybody. We were kind of aware of what was going to happen with Jalen, but before that, Cassandra said, you know, I've always wanted to do this. I wanted to do this. But, we didn't really know exactly when or if she was serious. And then, boom, it surprised us. And to have something like that, it's shocking. It's really cool and really an honor.
Well, first of all, I'm surprised that it's two girls, which is great, you know?
Yeah, right? I mean, hey, why not?
The second is, now you guys have to be a band for, like, life, because she's going to have that for
life. Yeah, we got to be a band forever now, right?
Such pressure. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a real quick break, and we are going to hear the song Never Felt This Nice, because I'm sure when you see those tattoos, it will never feel that nice at that moment again. So let's hear that song, and then we're going to have more with my guest Colin from the Dirty Jacks right here on the playlist.
God, I never
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Colin again with Dirty Jacks. You guys can check us all out at www.dirtyjacks.com.
You just heard Cigarette Break by The Dirty Jacks, which you can find at thedirtyjacks.com. Still with me on the phone is Colin, and I wanted to talk to you about that song, Cigarette Break. I don't smoke a ton, you know, but every now and then I'll have the occasional cigarette. I just picked up a second job, and I'm noticing more now, though, that when I'm done, you know, with my job, that I do have a personal cigarette break that I do take, you know. So I go outside, and when I'm done, and I'm just walking to my car, just smoking a cigarette. It's a little delicious. I know it's bad for you, but you know, as long as it's like every now and then. Do you guys take a lot of cigarette breaks?
We do. We are partakers of the devil's blood. We originally wrote that song. It was one of the actual first songs we ever wrote, and I tried to be as, you know, indie and transparent as I could with the song, and I really didn't know what I was doing, and this is honestly one of the first songs we ever wrote, and I was trying to transcend that idea of the cigarette break being something that people tell you not to do, and that was my idea of rebellion, was the cigarette break, was, you know, I'm not listening to anything you're going to tell me to do, and this was, I think, the first song we wrote when I first started in the band. I was, you know, I was 18, 19 years old, and it was my personal rebellion through music was with that song, and my idea of the cigarette break was the avenue.
It's funny too, because, you know, when they say go take a break, now I'm just like, what do I do? You know, for the most part, I see people smoking cigarettes, so for me, it's just like, oh, maybe I should smoke a cigarette, but then maybe I'm like, I'm like, well, maybe I should just catch up and go on my phone, you know. So sometimes I do that, and other times I just don't do anything. I just sit down, drink water, and just like look at the world pass me by, for you know my cigarette break. But what cigarettes do you smoke?
I smoke Pall Mall Blues short. They're Pall Mall Lights. They're kind of old man cigarettes, and they're actually the cheapest around here on the East Coast. We sometimes drive into Virginia, where they're actually the cheapest around, and you get them for $3.50 a pack.
Wow. I splurge, because like I said, I don't really smoke that much, but when I do, I splurge. So I'm into Dunhills. I don't know if you've ever had a Dunhill.
I've had a Dunhill, oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was going on your website, and again, let me repeat that for all those listening, thedirtyjacks.com. And there I got onto your YouTube, and I stumbled upon this song, and it was about the Death Star. It was rebuilding the Death Star, and I found the acoustic version. And are you a Star Wars fan?
I am a nerd. Yes, I am. May the Force be with you.
And also,
we are almost intangibly nerds at heart with a lot of different things: comic books, superheroes, sci-fi, video games, horror flicks. You know, gearheads when it comes to our instruments and stuff like that. You know, you name it. We all have, all of us together, or single-handedly, one of us is a nerd at heart, and we've all seen the original trilogy together, and the only person in the band who has not seen it is our guitarist, Billy. And Billy will almost refuse to see it because he still wants to hold that out against us, that he's the only one who hasn't seen it. And he just kind of, he's trying to keep that as long as he can, that streak going.
Do you think he'll go his entire life without seeing it, or do you think it's eventually going to happen?
I think it'll eventually happen. It's like a one of those like slow, progressive, we're eating away at him. We're trying to get him to do it. We're trying to get him to do it. And eventually I think he'll give and he'll watch it with us, and he'll get all those stupid jokes that we've been saying for, you know, years and years and years.
Well, I'm a big fan of Star Wars, and I wanted to talk to you specifically about this because rebuilding the Death Star, I was just having this conversation the other day, literally the other day. How I was telling this guy, I was like, do you realize that the Empire spared no expense when it came to killing? You know, it's like
no expense whatsoever.
Whatsoever, you know. Whereas, like, you know, the rebels, you know, this is what perplexed me, right? The rebels, they had their fighters and their stuff, but they're supposed to be rebels, so they're not all supposed to have like the same gear. And like when I see a ton of X-Wings, I'm like,
there was very uniformity.
Exactly. Yeah, did you notice that, or was that just me?
Nope, not just you. I agree. You know, we've all had this debate that you think about, there's supposed to be this Rebel Alliance, and then where's all that money coming from? Where's all this funding coming from? Where are these ships coming from? You know, it's pretty outlandish when you think that there's a huge Death Star looming above a planet just to kill a couple people, and it wouldn't have been cheaper to hire some assassins. But you should go with a giant Death Star the size of a moon.
Maybe, you know, your guys' next album or whatever should, like, have your own version of, like, a Dirty Jacks, like, Death Star or something like that.
I totally agree. I'll run it by the guys. I'll see what they're saying.
Okay. What was your favorite, like robot, you know, that the Empire had, or favorite, like, thing?
Like character?
Not character, just like, you know, like for me, one of my favorite, I mean, because I've always loved the Stormtroopers, but, you know, for me, they're such an integral part that, like, one of the sub, you know, characters for me that I really liked were the Droidicas, because they were the best, like, droid, because they had, they could turn into a ball and then, like, you know, driving were really fast. Their guns were amazing. And not only that, but they had a force field.
Definitely. Force field.
Yeah, so it was like, these guys were like the hardest to kill, you know? And I really thought that they were cool.
I would have to agree with you on this in terms of my favorite, you know tertiary character, third tier, fourth tier characters that people notice but maybe not think is that integral is the Stormtrooper. Their propaganda type helmets that are so, you know, German SS, ridiculously scary, monstrous idea that these clones are coming after you is really appealing to me. It's really interesting, and psychologically interesting too, that this could have been thought of back in the 70s, that somebody made this idea, and that to me is really, really interesting and cool.
Not only that, but they were white, you know what I mean? And it's just like, how did they stay clean this entire time? You know?
Yeah, the entire time. The entire time, and no blood, no nothing, just white suits and laser beams.
As God intended it, I'm telling you.
We should get that printed on a t-shirt for the next show, Dirty Jacks. White suits and laser beams.
That'd be cool. Do you guys have merch right now?
We're actually in the process of buying a bunch of new merch. We're going to be talking to a couple of different artists from around our way, and we're going to come up with a couple of new designs for our tour that's coming up, and we're going to be, we're going to have those with us for the tour, for future shows to come. We're going to maybe think about some small independent, one-of-a-kind, limited-edition t-shirts, that kind of stuff, maybe 5 to 10, or maybe just one. We're just thinking outside of the box in terms of merchandise, because that's one of the only ways now that you can agree with me that, local indie bands are making money nowadays, is really to get their image and their idea out there and, let the music talk first and, promote as much as you can.
I really like both of your guys' logos. I like that logo with the TDJ, and I also like the logo with the jacks on it. So both of those are very iconic. As far as when I look at it, I'm like, wow, that's, the Dirty Jacks. So are you thinking about fiddling with those two, or just creating something completely different and keeping those two alive?
I think we're going to stick with the idea we have, but we're always open for, possibilities in the future for changing things, altering things, limited edition, once in a lifetime, maybe something a little different, color schemes, stretch the idea out, maybe a grassroots campaign for our fans to design something. We really like that idea as well, just letting, everybody else decide something like that. Because if you think about it, they're the ones wearing it.
We've been playing cuts from Rufus, as well as from the upcoming EP, Kill the Lights. Tell me about this notion of making an EP, because I know in like 2011, that's when Rufus came out, and now you have an EP. Why the decision for the EP? Why not just, it's been a long time. Why not just another full length?
We had such a fun time making this EP that we wanted to release it as fast as possible, and we really wanted it to be the highest quality that we could, and we spent all of our money making that, and really just trying as hard as we could to get our sound out there as quick as possible. And this is kind of our aim. To basically, if you want the music, you can have it. This is it. Listen, tell us what you think. And we're really trying as hard as we can to push that.
My guest has been Colin Bull with The Dirty Jacks. You can find him at thedirtyjacks.com. Thank you so much for being on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot, Turtle. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man, we leave you now with Sweet Chesapeake.
to the sea, send me to the sea, my sweet Chesapeake, my sweet Chesapeake. Send me to the sea, send me to the sea, my sweet Chesapeake. Send me to the sea, send me to the sea, my sweet, sweet, sweet Chesapeake. Send me to the sea, send me to the sea, my sweet, Chesapeake.
Hey, what's up? It's Turtle with Enter the Shell. And if you know a band or are in a band and want to be featured on Enter the Shell, email me personally, turtle@entertheshell.com. And since you're already there, you might as well log on to Enter the Shell and download our cornucopia of podcasts and check out the blogs as well. You know, just something to keep you occupied from your daily life.